He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
It is indeed, and I made a very interesting discovery this weekend. I didn't get to take advantage of it because I thought I took advantage of it an hour earlier, and 60 miles before I discovered cheap gas. And I'll tell you what cheap is, Jill. $2.17 a gallon.
Where'd you find it?
Chicopee, Mass.
Oh, okay.
Off the pike. And it was at least Chicopee-wide, meaning that it wasn't just a wholesale, BJ's in this case, price. It was Chevron, Sunoco, and all the majors that were around there were at $2.19, and BJ's was at $2.17, unless you had a BJ Perks card, which meant it was $2.07.
All right, quick question. What is it in Connecticut at
Well,
BJ's?
In Connecticut, it's $2.72 in our broadcast town.
And that's supposedly good.
That's pretty good because in Fairfield County, it's over $3 at some of the major stations. They don't care. They must have. I think they've got a county tax in Fairfield. I've decided.
But it's also, as Jay says, it's so interesting. And
in Waterbury, it's $2.45.9 at the wholesale, and anywhere's up to $2.90 at the majors in Waterbury, $2.75 and up in the majors at Waterbury outside of the wholesale. So this is the first time I've actually seen the wholesale clubs, including Tarrington, significantly below their competitive stations around the area. The Waterbury one has been that way for a while, but Tarrington never seemed to be as little as 2 cents below the cheapest major brand found elsewhere in Tarrington until last week when I went and found it. It was at $2.53, and the majors up, the Cumberland Farms and Shells and Exxons were up at the $2.70 to $2.80 range still.
Quick question. How much does it cost to join a wholesale club?
Well, I use BJ's because I'm a member.
All right.
There are ways to get around the standard fee, which is anywhere between $50 and $60 a year. As a member of the realtor group, of which I am, it is $35.
Okay.
There are offers throughout the system.
Offers abound.
Costco and all that. Offers about as little as $30 to $35
right.
a year. And at that level, $30 to $35, which is where I try to hold it, it's just like buying gas to me. You can save a significant amount of money if you do go beyond gas. I don't really go beyond gas because I'm a single person and I can't buy a cartload of groceries every time I go there. But there has been amazing, along with the wholesale benefits of prices in general, they have had these promotions where there's catalogs which come out monthly will say if you buy two of this or three of that, you will get anywhere between 25 cents a gallon off 25 cents off per gallon of gas off their price to 50 cents off. And there was an overlap where if you bought two out of the 25 cents off catalog, which would run from, let's say, December 1 to December 25th, and three of the other catalog, which would run from December 5th through December 31st, you could get 75 cents off a gallon on the same day that you purchased this, which means up to a certain number of gallons, which means you could technically, and I did this once, I didn't believe you could do it. You could bring two cars to the place at the same time and on the same day and get the same price off through that dirt day if you didn't overload the
Robin, you got a lot of time on your hands.
I do. We're going to turn it over to Jay. Other than the fact that gas is cheap in Chicopee for anybody who's going
even
to Boston.
Even cheaper than I was in New Jersey on 17 yesterday and it was hovering around 233 or something like that.
So 217 is impressive.
Well, yeah, I don't know that it was Black Sunday savings or what it was. And I don't know whether it's still there today, but it was citywide and I had already filled up so I couldn't.
But I believe him because he sent me a picture and I know he can't use
I have the picture on my iPhone to prove it to anybody who doubts me. And premium was $2.47.9.
All right. And just by and large, I wanted to ask this, and I will throw it out there, and then you can ignore it till the next time.
Okay. Quickly.
Lots of adverts, of course, because lots of sports and cars are all. You talk to real people, regular people, about cars, right?
Yes.
What are they? You know, the latest is, oh, I'm scared. What do people want in a car?
They don't know. Okay. They want a color. They want a model. if they've like the Subaru loyalists in the Subaru family are extreme. I think Jay will agree. The dealers around here want you to continue to buy the car that they sell.
I think in the Subaru world, for instance, I think Subaru's gotten to the point where people don't question them anymore, and so now their repeat business is
extreme.
Their retention rate is
extraordinary,
and I think it's partly because the car is good, although it's far from perfect, and I've come to realize that. But because they go on the assumption this is the best we can get, and then you know, they started out with an Outback from 10, 15 years ago, which was not half the car it is today, and that same model has become a lot more car, even more so than other brands have their models.
To be chased by VW currently, and not much else at the Outback model equivalent.
But then they've been expanding the model range, and so Impreza, now you have the Crosstrek variant.
And you go to the Ascent. And you ascend to the Ascent.
They have a sports car, which is
the two-door,
which is the same car as the
Subaru.
Toyota,
what is it called? I can't remember.
F86 or no?
That was a Toyota, wasn't it?
BRZ.
Correct.
Yeah. And it's a great little car. It's a two-door sports car. It's the only Subaru that's not all-wheel drive.
And Toyota's not following through with their version of it anymore, as of at least 2019.
But so I know people who just go by and get another Outback.
They'll go to the dealer, specify the color they want. They're coming equipped with pretty much everything you need standard, the eyesight.
Some of these people are uninspired, by the way.
Okay.
They are.
When it comes to cars, and that's fine.
No, I totally understand. With respect, there's always been a group of people who just order me the next model of the same.
I know people, I have a neighbor who, I've known him for over 20 years, and, he and his wife both drive stick shifts and stick shift onlys. And they still find cars that are stick shifts.
Right.
You have very few currently.
That's
new
not going to last for long. But
VW has some. Mazda has one. I don't think Hyundai has any. Oh, maybe Hyundai does in one of their models. But
stick shifts have
been vanishing for decades. But they are still available.
Then again, most people can't drive a car with two pedals. So let's not make it more complicated than it needs to be. Yeah.
All right. What were you going to? What did you learn on your homework assignment?
I don't know. I've always done my homework on my way to class. Yeah. So I'm just opening my notebook now, and
it's quite a notebook indeed. I'll start off while he's still noting, because I read a couple of articles before he got hold of this particular issue. And the one article that I read was the truck war test between the Ram, the Silverado, and the Ford 150 in a towing contest and miles per gallon contest. And the interesting thing about it to me was that the Ford, which was so far been boasting that they're six-cylinder, what do they call it? EcoSport six-cylinder engines are supposed to be very good mileage-wise, got the worst mileage under load of the three, but only by 1 mile per gallon,
from... And I haven't read the article.
No.
But I can tell you that if I were to get a half-ton, that's what we call them, full-size, the lighter full-size trucks. We still call half ton for
whatever reason. There's still quarter ton, half ton, three-quarter ton?
Half ton and three-quarter ton.
Yeah, that's been a distinction historically.
Okay.
Right. So they're the lighter versions, right? Like the 1500s in the Ram family and the Ford F-150s as opposed to the 250s and 350s. But if I were to get one of those lighter trucks, I'd get the diesel Ford, and I'm sure the results would be totally different if you had seen that comparison.
Possibly the diesel Ram also, and possibly the diesel Chevrolet. There's a guy in town that I see every day at one of our local eating places, and he drives a diesel Silverado. He's not a big fan of it from the standpoint
that's
of
a
the
full
truck.
That's the big one with the, what's the name of that engine? Duramax.
I think all Chevrolet diesels are Duramax
That's bound a V8 for the Duramax. Trucks. V8. So that's a big.
And it's a big truck.
Yeah.
And the engine is great, and the transmission is great. But what the comment he made to me, which is what I'm making here about the diesel comment that Jay just made, is when you buy a diesel, he said the diesel on that was a $6,500 option, mm-hmm. and I promptly said, yeah. And the older trucks, my attitude is, if you the diesel, the engine itself will outlast the frame and the value, the general use of the truck, because diesels last for a long time. So if you can amortize that $6,500 cost over the let's say 7 years or less, that you most of these guys seem to keep those trucks, go for it. I agree with Jay, the diesel is wonderful, but it's an expensive option. In Connecticut, with diesel being more than regular grade gas, which all the basic gasoline engine versions of these trucks use, you're never going to get your money back unless your truck will outlast the
engine.
It's
not about the money. It's about getting more performance.
That's true, a good point.
And back to the towing thing, I can tow most of these trailers with my car, which has a diesel too, by the way. But this myth that you need a pickup truck to tow a big trailer is
This was a test to test the three trucks, and driver's viewpoint, and it's I love seeing them.
Okay.
They do. They generally use the Mustang versus the Camaro versus once upon a time there was the Chrysler equivalent, which is not around anymore, and other major brands when they have major competing models out there.
So just for reference, the winner in this comparison test, which was done by Car and Driver, was the Ram 1500.
Right. Correct. Ta-da. And admittedly, I must say, visually, I happen to like the 2019 Ram.
It looks like a Toyota.
Very good. What?
It looks like a Toyota.
Well, maybe so, but it looks like it's a lot better than 3 years ago front end, as far as I'm concerned. And people buy cars, to go to your point, Jill, when you talk to people about cars, besides being somewhat passionless, some of them do care about what they look like, and some of them do care about other things, but unfortunately, most of the people are sort of passionless. They just want something that will get them reliably from point A to point B for the next 30 years of their life, and none of the cars will do that.
For those who actually do have some passion for cars and who look at cars that are, you know, either a little better than others or have better performance or more fun to drive, the January issue of Car and Driver has the list that what they consider to be the 10 best cars in America.
And that doesn't go by affordability, incidentally.
And on the cover, some of us can see right here that one of those cars is
Jay's favorite, almost.
The Tesla 3, right?
Yes.
The one right in the background is a Genesis, which is back to what I was talking about. We were talking about last week is, I think that's a Genesis G70.
G70, I believe.
It's a great car. With the wrong badge, because Genesis is one of those brands that was supposed to be Hyundai's version of the.
It was meant to be the Avalon version of Toyota. The
Lexus version of Toyota.
Lexus version of Toyota, right.
Well, it didn't quite work out that way, and they sold 20,000 cars last year and on their way to sell 10,000 this year.
And they lost it because Hyundai decided they wanted to change the marketing aspect of it, which I thought
was
a big
mistake.
So
where does it belong now?
In the grave.
Okay.
In the grave. They're great cars.
But they were poorly marketed.
They were
marketed. They were very poorly marketed.
They lost their way.
And some of that problem was just dealerships. And Hyundai decided that they were not going to sell their luxury cars, the newly branded Genesis, in Hyundai dealerships. And
they
tried
to outsource them to exclusive dealerships in freestanding outside of the – and, you know, these dealers – put a lot of money into showrooms and
You know what? The fiasco is going to be almost as bad as FCA's Fiat brand. It's the same thing.
Or as GM closing factories and cutting sedans.
Well, that's different. We're talking marketing and distribution and dealership networks.
As opposed to fabricating, just in this instance, right. Simply because most people, you know, they can barely make the leap to marketing because – the end user, and this is why I find this absolutely fascinating, you are captive to what you are being sold.
Yes. And to that point, if you walk into a dealership, they're going to do their best to have you sign on the dotted line before you go to the next dealership to compete with it. And Jay's got a great – I want to get Jay going on this. Before the show opened this morning, we were talking about General Motors' situation, and Jay said something brilliant. GM should keep cars. They should merge the GMC and Silverado brand trucks and keep it as a single truck section and something else. You add it into three components or three categories, and they should stay, and they should get rid of Buick and merge it with Chevrolet.
That's my vision of things. I'll get to it in a second.
I agree with his vision.
But wait one second,
I want to get back to advertising and people buy cars based on the advertising. I hate to be the Tesla Kool-Aid drinking fan here.
I'm a Jeep fan right now, so
but, we know that. But and I don't have a Tesla yet. But
well,
I'd like to point out,
year.
When's the last time you saw an ad for Tesla? Just try to remember.
Quick, you don't have to think.
You haven't, right?
That's the point.
No, the only thing I hear about Tesla, by the way, is his own thing. He's like, okay, we're going to the moon. Oh, we're doing the Hyperlink.
We're doing boring
but,
this morning.
Okay,
in NPR.
But my point is, advertising is great. It sells a lot of cars. It has historically, the advertising business as far as cars is huge and very important and sometimes mismanaged. But the point is, Tesla is selling their cars without spending a dime on, I'm going to say, traditional advertising through the media that we, as far as print media, radio, television.
Yeah,
there's absolutely zero budget for advertising,
which will end when they saturate their market and actually produce at the time of order.
Listen, I will say that
this
is tangential, but I think quite relevant because I saw something yesterday about the new retail and how it's like. We don't need to build a brand. It's like 5 years is all we're only going out 5 years.
Who is this about?
This was on a national network, and it was
talking. Tesla?
No, it was not cars.
Car related? No.
No, it was retail. Period. And I thought,
is
wow.
Clothes as well as cars, or just
you
cars?
Name it. 5 years.
Just
we
retail.
Like the immersive experience, and I'm thinking, okay.
What's the
What
define the immersive experience?
How's that going to work?
I haven't a clue.
The immersive experience would be something like getting a rock band and a company to go to your Genesis dealer that you've parked at the side of the road. The point is, it's guaranteed not to work because if you have a durable item, it's got to last long. Your thinking has to be longer than 5 years. That's just my response to until Tesla saturates the market and then. Or until someone else comes up with
it goes back to what I've been saying, not because I've been saying it, but brand recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And brands are still going to sell products.
Of course they are.
So however you market it, I'm not saying Tesla is not doing any marketing, but
you have to have a brand.
Brand recognition is there. If you ask people to name a bunch of cars,
Tesla's going to be out.
Tesla's going to be in it.
Apropos Tesla.
And everybody loves their Tesla to footnote this situation.
And even if they don't, they will never tell you.
That's
they'll never
the
tell you what they don't like about it.
No. I know I know people who are getting one because at the end of the year, they're getting the 75.
For the tax thing.
Right. Now, how
Tesla's done.
That's it, right?
Well, I believe you have to get an order in before December 31st, but I believe they will have exceeded their quota of whatever, 200,000 electric vehicles, and starting after 2000, January 1st, you cannot get access the $7,500, I should say.
That's what I was asking.
$7,500 federal credit. Now, GM still can with their Bolt. The new boys on the block, Jaguar, who else is coming on strong? Mercedes. Volvo, all can access it because they will be well below the 200,000 unit mark.
So it is up until 200,000.
That benefit disappears.
Okay, that's thank you very much.
So this may help the others, but the question will be, can Tesla's sales continue beyond? And my answer is yes,
absolutely.
It will. Absolutely.
My
I think Jay will agree.
Well,
absolutely.
Yeah, there's no question. Because they, like as somebody used to call it, the Prius, the Prius.
the Prius.
No, but there was a time in memory where that name was, you know,
synonymous with hybrid cars.
Right.
Yes, it was.
And
they're still successful, except that their design, I think Jay and I both think that their design has gotten a little bit screwy.
Ugliest car on the market.
Well, I won't go the ugliest, but it's certainly less.
We're close.
It's certainly less attractive in my view.
And beauty is in
the original design was. At either end of the vehicle.
Yeah. It's lost its...
It's still operating. The people who have the new ones that we don't like the looks of love the new ones just as much, if not more, than the old ones. They were told as being boring driving cars in the old version, and they've perked up a bit in the new ones, but they certainly don't look as
well. Yeah, but boring is okay.
That's because that's...
Boring is reliable.
Boring is reliable.
Often
boring gets you there.
To reliable well, gets you there. Traditional,
earlier,
whatnot, and there's
getting
nothing
an a
wrong
to
with
B
that.
Is what most people want to get to reliably.
All right.
So I want to come back to
Yeah, we're
going to
close
again.
With Jay.
No, we don't.
Yeah, we are.
Probably.
Jay. Leaders in 2018, as far as brands, not car manufacturers. Big number one, Ford, still, as a brand, with a mixed match of cars and trucks, as we know. Number two, Toyota. More cars, less trucks.
And going to maintain that to a certain degree.
Number three, Chevrolet, Honda, Nissan, Jeep, Subaru, and we go down. Hyundai and Kia have equally about 500,000 cars, but they're spread over two brands.
That'll be interesting
to see in the future. Number 10, Ram trucks. So even though that's a new brand, so pretty much Chrysler took the Dodge name off their trucks and rebranded them as Ram,
which is
working great for Ram. But now, what is a Dodge? Doesn't exist anymore.
Yes, I know it does, but not meaningfully.
Not meaningfully at all.
It used to be a Dodge Ram, and then it was a Dodge Ram truck, and now it's a Ram truck.
Yeah. Correct.
And it's not dissimilar to
like Dunkin' Donuts going to Dunkin'.
But it's also not dissimilar to Sears basically selling off its.
Sears sold themselves out of business.
Right.
So I think the strong brands still are Ford, Toyota, Honda.
Tesla.
Well, Tesla's not in
I
the
know,
top
it's not
sales,
in the top
nor
10.
Not the bottom 10 either.
But there are a lot of brands below this list that are strong in name and will be around for a long time to come.
But then you have brands that are going to, I think, I mean,
Chevrolet may fall off this list if given
the GM
that they're
brands.
GM's is going to lose its way.
I'm just shaking my head about GM because, again, a la Sears.
I have a viewpoint.
A la Sears, exactly.
This is totally avoidable.
Totally avoidable.
And I saw a lot of sedans on the road. We're looking at the train coming right at us.
I saw a lot of sedans on the road on the highways this weekend as I was on the Pike and various places elsewhere from our broadcast area. And there are plenty of people who want sedans. They may not be at $4 million a year, but they'll be at $2 million a year, and Chevrolet doesn't want to keep part of that pie.
And after our last show when we were talking about sedans and whatnot, I realized, just in terms of age range, I know two young ladies about 25, 26, they both got sedans.
Yeah.
That's what they went out to get.
Young ladies drive sedans. They used
and
to drive Jettas, and now they have Elantras and Civics.
Not everybody is like...
Not everybody is wedded to the SUV type of vehicles, and
we'll
this is where I criticize Chevrolet, General Motors in general.
Here's the GM, the fix for GM, marketing-wise.
Okay.
The brands are Chevrolet cars, GMC trucks, Cadillac luxury vehicles, without forgetting cars, Corvette sports cars, Bolt electric vehicles.
Perfect.
I agree with you.
I'm going to call Mary Barra up and suggest that she hire you before you get out of town on your next airport drive.
Great.
He is Robin Leach. He is GM's Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.